Hey, Bobby Manning here. Want to give you guys a quick update on this feed. We're going to be throwing it back to our old Celtics post-game show style about an hour after every Celtics game show, and we're doing it on the Locker Room app. If you haven't heard of the Locker Room app, it's available in the Apple App Store as well as getlockerroom.com. And you just download the app, find our room. You can follow me, Bobby Manning, Josue Pavone, John Zanis, as well as Jimmy Toscano, and get alerted every time we go live, which is going to be, like I said, an hour after every single game. You can join us there, just like on our old show, and jump on as a caller. Questions, takes, opinions, all that stuff. You'll have your chance to throw it out there and have a little bit of a back and forth with our show like we used to here. Now, that audio is going to be available here on this feed. So, what you're going to hear after this is our locker room conversation from last night, the Celtics post-game show overtime, as we're going to be calling it. And that's going to be what this stream is going forward. If you want the Celtics post-game show as we do it on YouTube immediately following the buzzer, which is going to continue for an hour after every game, you're going to want to go subscribe to the Garden Report podcast feed. That's the Garden Report podcast feed. It's on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere you're getting your podcast, anywhere you're getting this podcast stream, you'll be able to get the Garden Report one as well. And that will be our post-game stream. This is going to continue to be the locker room stream from every night. So we're basically doing two shows each night. Second one's going to involve you guys, so it's standing here on our old stream where we used to do that every night. And here is tonight's show.
Hello,
Hey, can you hear me?
Sherrod, you got me?
I got you.
Hey, what's up, guys? Sherrod, Blakely, and I are here. Sherrod, give it a tweet to your followers. Fill up the room. Speaker requests. Come on in, fast and furious. Sherrod Blakely here from Bleacher Report, the CLNS Celtics Garden Report postgame show, Boston Sports Journal, NBC's former NBC Sports. What doesn't Sherrod do? And myself here, and we're going to have Josue Pavone, Bobby Manning, and Jimmy Toscano joining us in a little bit. We're going to rock it following this Celtics. Definitely the most fun game of the year. Yeah, I don't know if it was best win of the year, but this is super entertaining, super fun basketball. So we're going to keep the conversation going a little while longer. For the people in here in the room, just to let you know how we do it, I'm going to select you guys to speak, and we'll put you up there, and just keep it muted until I call on you. As soon as I do, just unmute and then join the conversation. So we will start rifling through some people. I'll start loading them up. Sherrod, any thoughts before we get started?
No, I mean, biggest thing is just that this was a really good win. I mean, this was a Golden State team that's playing their best basketball of the season right now. They're being led by Steph Curry, who's looking like MVP Steph Curry out there, and he had another big game, and yet the Celtics still found a way go through some adversity, get the win, insert new faces into the lineup, Jabari Parker specifically, and just got again, a lot of guys stepping up, making big plays down the stretch.
Yeah, I've brought in Christian here to speak. Christian, are you
I am here, yes.
What's going on?
What's up,
Hey,
Christian?
how's it going? I thought it was a really good game as well. I was kind of just wondering, I was looking at the standings. I think we're five or maybe four and a half behind Milwaukee right now. Do you think that's too far of a reach? And also, after this is six games in a row, do you think we've officially turned the corner?
Good question. Sherrod, you can answer the turn the corner question. Milwaukee did get drilled tonight
Yeah.
by Memphis, or at least was it Memphis or Sacramento? No, Minnesota.
Minnesota, I think it was.
Minnesota. Sorry. Last I checked, they were getting. No, it was the Grizzlies. 128-115. So the standings are again. This is a.
They're like
This'll
four and
be.
a half back, the Celtics are.
It's five in the loss column, four and a half back. It's technically doable, but you'd be looking at a pretty good run here. But they are again alone at in the four seed now, and they have two games in the loss column over seven and eight. So it's not quite a cushion yet. I'd still be way more concerned about not falling back into that 7-8 zone than I would be concerned with jumping up to 3. I do think that's your number one goal is make sure you're the 4 or the 5 in a perfect world. You don't want to be the 6 and have to play one of those teams in the first round because you could be one and done. So I think as long as they fall into 4 and 5, they're good, and then you roll the dice with whatever happens in the second round. But to turn the corner, Sherrod, what do you think?
No, to turn the corner, I definitely think that they have turned the corner for a couple of reasons. First of all, a lot of their guys are starting to get a little bit healthier. The schedule is playing itself out so that you don't have Kemba in those back-to-back games, so you're actually able to play your normal schedule with Kemba Walker, the kind of schedule that if you get to the playoffs, you're going to be using him in that regard. You've added another guy off the bench in Jabari Parker, who, again, his greatest asset is his ability to score, and frankly, you need that when you talk about that second unit, which coming into this game was like 29th in the league in bench points scored. So you're strengthening your bench. You're starting to get healthy. You're winning games. And you're not – and to me, you're not just winning games. You're winning games with your defense being a factor. And that's to me, that's where this feels a little bit more real than some of their other stretches where they've won maybe 2, 3, 4 in a row. Their defense is actually making plays, triggering victories. And if you're going to win in the playoffs – your defense has to be a vital cog in that success. And the Celtics, we're seeing more and more of that.
Let's bring in Troy. Yes, Troy. What's going on, man?
What's up, Troy?
What's up? What's up? Good to be back. Are you with us, Bobby, officially?
I see him there. He might still be.
Too.
Bobby was trying to wrap up some post-game stuff, and he's been enveloped in some, you know,
yeah,
some
it seemed like bad. He had some technical difficulties. Just want to make sure he's with us. And
we're not, we're a little worried about Bobby.
but basically, you know, I'm on some good vibes, feeling really good about tonight after a very fun game, like you guys mentioned. And I want us to focus on Kemba, right? So I think he's going into basically doing what we need him to do. And because his stats are so hyper-focused and his contract is used as a detriment to him, I don't think it's acknowledged not only from you guys, but just as a community, just his deferment and leadership, how much it has unlocked the Jays in a way that Kyrie really never could, because of how negative he would be if he didn't get his own or you know, just the isolation he would do. Like, Kemba is so positive and doesn't really let it ever show when he's having bad games or if he's having bad games. And his ability to just let the Jays be who they are and keep going is so key to their growth that I don't think has been really acknowledged. So I just wanted you guys to touch on that.
Okay, well, go for it.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, I think with Kemba, the one thing that he's doing, and I think it's maybe the most important non-on-the-court dynamic that he brings to the table, is he is an example of a guy accepting a role that may be smaller than he's capable of fulfilling. I mean, Kemba is a, you know, a multi-time all-star, the franchise scoring leader at another team, a guy that has accomplished a lot in this league, and yet he comes to the Celtics, he's playing with guys who are younger than him, and he has embraced the fact that he's going to be the number three guy in that pecking order. And he's okay with that. In fact, he encourages the Jays to be more leadership driven and to take this team by the horns and things like that. And that trickles down to other guys that come into this team and who are on the team to understand that you have a job to do. Do your job and keep and leave it at that. If we're going to be successful, then we all have to play a specific role, a specific part in that. And he gets that, and he shows that day in, day out. And that's important when you're trying to build up towards something. And we, you know, we were talking about this earlier on the Garden Report. You look at the way this team is starting to come together, they're more likely than not, they're going to be at full strength right as the playoffs begin. And that's exactly what you want if you're going to be a team that has visions of making a deep run.
Yeah, my thought on the turning the corner thing, there's a definite difference in attitude. As Sherrod alluded to, we talked about it, but Rachel Nichols had said something prior to the game about the team having a meeting and having some hard conversations. You can tell there's a bit of a mentality shift, I think. I think it affects play. And you do see, I mean, it's not a coincidence that all of a sudden you're seeing more ball movement and a better defensive effort, which means more buy-in, more accountability to one another, and just more getting your teammates involved. And it's always been the number one thing that we've said to everybody we've said about this team is, they're not going anywhere if it just is the Tatum and Brown show and that's only it. They have to find a way to get everybody involved and to get everybody to buy into what they need to do. And there's just so many bad efforts throughout the year. Just so many games where we're like, is this rock bottom? We just haven't seen those as much. You've seen spurts of inconsistent play early tonight, even a ton of really easy shots. There was a lot of layups. It looked like, but they've snapped it together. Even those games where they've had moments where they've looked like they were lapsing back into bad habits, they were able to pull it together, and they've had some good comeback wins. They've had some really clutch fourth quarters. I don't think you do all of that without really, as you said, flipping a switch or turning a corner or just altering your mindset to caring about each other and caring about winning and, caring about how you play and how you're all of the stuff we talked about, body language. There's definitely something. It's trending in the right direction. Maybe you can credit part of it to being buoyed by, Danny buying into this season by, Sherrod, at the time I wasn't sure whether the Fournier was a good move. And the huge reason Danny gave for doing it was I just looked in that locker room and I felt they needed it, And Bobby talked about this too. Like, if you didn't do something for them, they'd feel like you also had given up on them. So why should they continue to work? I don't know if that had something to do with it or not. Just in terms of a mentality, as a player, you talk to these players all the time. Trade deadline's always a tense moment because you're worried that you might get dished. But also, when you're looking in that locker room and looking around and thinking, like, this isn't enough. We need a little more. And then they go out and get something, what that does for you.
Oh, it was huge. I mean, not only do, we notice that when we're watching them play, that there's something off. There's something just not right with them. But they notice it, and Danny noticed it. Him and I, we had a conversation about that, actually, where, he noticed that, guys, their spirits just weren't where they needed to be. And that was part of the thinking, not all of the thinking, but certainly a factor in his desire to try to get some type of deal done. And Fournier, when you look at what they're getting and you look at what they gave up, a couple of second round picks, it's a no brainer type of deal. There's very little downside to that. And again, he recognized that they needed to somehow find a way to bring in some new blood, some guys who can do some things that you aren't getting done now. And Fournier is a playmaker. We haven't seen much of that due to health and safety protocols, but he's a guy that can score, can make plays for others, can help you kind of jumpstart that offense. And we saw what Jabari can do with nothing other than a damn walkthrough. He went out there and got you 11 points, and he did that in like his first like 12, 13 minutes on the floor. He's that prolific a scorer. And the thing that I like about his scoring is that a lot of it comes at the rim. So when you've got Tatum and Brown and Kemba and Smart, working on that perimeter three-point game, now you've got a guy whose specialty is getting buckets around the rim. And he's done it his entire career in the NBA. So there's a lot to like about the direction that this team is going and the players that they have in tow now. Certainly, it's a better feel and a better fit than, two, three, 4 weeks ago.
Yep, no doubt. And I think – you can definitely correlate, I think, some of this play to feeling supported. And then again, some of these conversations that they've had with one another about, this is who we have to be. Our post-game show has wrapped up on the other, on our other platforms. So we are going to have some people, there's more people kind of flooding into the room. I'll just let everybody know. Make a speaker request and I will, put you up there. We'll get you up on the platform. Just mute your microphone until I call on you. I have Cody right now. Cody, what's happening?
What's up, Cody?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Good, man.
You didn't really get to on the show because, you know, a lot of things to talk about. But I just wanted to show Pritchard some love. I mean, this guy is just absolutely fearless. I mean, his defense was even pretty solid in the post when he was kind of outmatched, but his energy just matched everything. And we were talking a little bit last week, I think it was Bobby mostly, but talking about like a tighter rotation come playoff time. And I just think he might have just earned his spot in the rotation. I mean, his tenacity is just next level. I just wanted to give you the guys the time to talk about him.
Well, Jimmy Toscano joined us in the room. I'm going to give him first bite at the apple on the Pritchard stuff. I will say that last night we did have a conversation, Cody, two nights ago. Jimmy, is your TV on, buddy? Can you mute or turn that down? I'm hearing a little feedback. We did talk about whether Pritchard was in the circle of trust, so to speak, like one of the core eight, really, because if you look at the starters plus Fournier, assuming Rob is still a starter, the starters plus Fournier and Tristan really are the only solid seven, and the question was whether or not Pritchard is entrenched into that rotation. It looked for a little bit, even tonight, was he a DNP in the first half or like well deep into it, I think, Sherrod, right?
Yeah, I don't think he played much in the first half, if at all.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's a core member of that rotation. I think it'll be interesting to see. The other question is whether Parker is. But Jimmy, your thoughts on Pritchard and his value / importance and whether or not he's going to be a trusted part of the rotation heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, we actually – this was one of the topics.
He came in to start the second, Cody said. It was just the first he didn't play. But, yeah, he didn't get run with the first set of subs. That's what I remember. All right, go ahead, Jimmy. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it was real quick. We kind of – that was one of the topics that we wrapped our show with. Somebody, I think it was a loyal listener, Tom Krill, asked us about Pritchard. And I was like, wow, we didn't mention Pritchard once, I don't think, the entire show. And I think it was one of those games where Pritchard sort of took a back seat except for that one. Joe Sway mentioned that one shot he took like in between the showdown between Tatum and Curry. But I do think that he has a role. I don't expect him to come out like gangbusters like Tyler Hero did last year for the Heat. But I do think that he does provide you, serviceable backup guard position. And, you know, Kemba Walker's doing his thing. But I think there's going to be some level of, you know, let's not go 40 minutes a game with Kemba Walker. And, you know, Pritchard has shown that when he is in there, he can do a bunch of little different things. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I mean, everyone was in awe of this guy. And I know that since then he's certainly cooled off and his playing time has been a little bit more sporadic. But I think that's a player that Brad Stevens trusts and puts in the game. So I can see that happening, as we get later into the season and into the playoffs there.
Yep.
Those are some bold shots tonight he took, though.
There he always does, right?
He was like, no, but this was next level. He was like trying to match Curry or something.
Well, he nailed that 30-footer. But, I mean, that's one thing, Bobby. You're right. Like, I don't know if this is good or bad if you're Brad. You know he cringes a little bit when he sees it. But, like, Pritchard can and will, in any situation, pull it from 30 feet or 25, 27 feet. He just does it. And that always – I don't know whether that's necessarily what you want. But if he didn't do that, he wouldn't be the guy who he is. So, I guess you got to just kind of – I don't think you can have him change. You know, I mean, that's – he is a guy who's not afraid to let it fly.
No, he's not. But and you know, when the playoffs roll around, the rotations get tighter, and players also, particularly young players, get a little bit tighter too. And so I'm curious to see how he's going to handle that situation, because he will get an opportunity. There's no doubt about that. It's just a matter of, is he going to be able to deliver comparable production and impact that we've seen in the regular season in the playoffs? And I think there's a lot of questions about that, because, again, it'll be his first go around. No one knows, including Peyton, including Brad, knows how he's going to respond to that. But based on what we've seen thus far, I think you feel pretty good that he's going to handle himself. And remember, unlike a lot of the guys that come into the NBA, you know, this isn't a guy that's like, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old who played one semester or went to college for one semester and then he's in the NBA. So he's been around the block a little bit. And I think that is going to help him from a nerve standpoint, from a just embracing the moment standpoint, and be someone that the Celtics can rely on as a backup to Kemba.
Yo, real quick, How the hell did Sherrod get a green check mark and I didn't, and Josue didn't, and Bobby didn't, and John didn't? What the hell? Who do I have to talk to over at locker room to get myself a damn check mark?
You know who else?
I know. Of course Jimmy noticed that.
You know who else?
I'm not even going to tell you what my jaw hit the floor when I saw one next to Nick's. It hit the absolute
floor. check marks at this point might be.
They don't mean anything now.
I will tell everyone in the room.
Don't sweat it, Jimmy. It's all about the check mark you see in the mirror. Man.
Unbelievable.
Don't worry about it.
They only mean something to people that don't have them. Sherrod's over it already.
Come tomorrow.
I will tell everybody in the room.
If it wasn't by their name, they would pass out. They would faint.
Real
Jimmy,
quick.
If it makes you feel any better, Jimmy, I took my little green crayon and put a little check mark next to your name. How's that?
See, there you go. Now you got a check mark every time he sees your name.
Thank you. I would actually ask everybody in this locker room tonight if you could do that as well. Just put a little, as long as I stay in that same spot, just put a little green check mark there and we'll all be good tonight.
Just a quick programming note to the people in the room right now, because it is filling up. Please mute when I put you up here. Otherwise, I will bump you. And then if I do, just request to speak again. But just make sure you mute until I call on you. And so by all means, like I said, fill up the room, guys.
Nick really does have a green check. Wow.
I appreciate, getting a chance to talk with you guys. I've been
What's
watching
up, Luke?
Your show this season. It's pretty fun. I'm a guy that lives out in the sticks, so I don't have TV and get to watch the game. So I've really enjoyed watching your breakdown after the games and stuff.
Thanks,
and
Luke.
I just feel like, the pre-COVID, Tatum is a big reason why we felt like they were going to really have a great season. And to see him doing that again, like, I don't know. It just makes me feel really good about the team, because we all know that he's such a great player, and to see everybody kind of coming back around. I was totally on the trade Kemba, trade Smart, get rid of everybody train there for a while, because I was just so frustrated with the team. But it's nice to see them all playing together again.
Yeah. Thanks, Luke. Yeah, no doubt, guys. I mean, the Tatum stuff has been a revelation, and we talked about him a ton tonight. But I think that's why we get frustrated with these guys, because you know there's another level that they can reach, and obviously now that they're kind of starting to get there, I think everything we'd said or everything we'd felt in the first 50 or so games of the season was somewhat justified, because there was something missing. But yeah, Tatum, we could talk about him all night. He was just.
Yeah,
he was a friggin' killer.
He's better. He's better than he was even in that February. You look at that February he had a year and a half ago. It was 3-point driven, and now we're seeing him get to the rim with dominance. I got to emphasize, I said it on the postgame show, but some of those finishes were big man moves, just bumping guys off their spot in the lane, getting it up on that rim and watching it roll down softly. His finishing has gotten so much better. We've talked about his passing. That's getting better. And his ability to get to the free throw line is becoming a massive part of this offensive efficiency boost we've seen in recent weeks. I think this team is sixth in offensive rating since the beginning of the month. And it's shot selection. It's the ability to get to the line. It's him shooting better, too. That three-pointer from the right wing tonight with such little space there was ginormous. He just has a knack for the moment right now that this team is needed, because they've played some close games and they've edged out some tough teams over the last few weeks that were coming at them on the other end. And he's just been a little bit better than some of the competition he was going at. So a big, big part of this last 10-3 resurgence here is just Tatum stepping it up.
Stepping it up and being the player that his talent says he is. The thing about Jason Tatum is that there's nothing that he's doing that comes as a surprise. And I say that because he's so ridiculously talented. When you look at just the different benchmarks that he's clearing for one of the most storied franchises in NBA history, when you talk about the first to 5,000 points, or at least to be this young to get to 5,000 points scored in his career, you look at the All-Star appearances, you look at just the way he is a much better two-way player than I think a lot of people give him credit for being. He is becoming a complete top 10-ish type of player. Is he there yet? I don't think so. I still think that there are guys that are clearly in a different class / stratosphere than he is. But Tatum is making up ground quickly. He's doing it the way I think all the really great ones do, and that is by any means necessary. As Bobby pointed out, free throw shooting, the mid-range jump shot, the three ball, attacking and finishing at the rim. Tatum is in his bag and then some, and it's causing major problems for everyone they face.
Let me ask you guys.
Was this Perkins?
Let me ask you guys. Is this version of Tatum good enough to be an alpha on a championship team? And whether it might be Perkins, it might also be other things that these guys, as we said, they've been having these uncomfortable meetings pre-Perkins criticism.
You're welcome, Celtics fans. You're welcome. Yeah,
but again, right. But is this
version? He's young Simba right now. He's not big Simba yet. He doesn't have the bass. He doesn't have the bass in his voice yet. But we see it.
Simba.
He's
getting there.
Exactly. He's still looking up at the sky. He's trying to figure things out.
He hasn't met Timon and Pumbaa yet. He's got to find his Timon and Pumbaa.
Become
a man.
He's got to see the light, right?
It is feeling like Hakuna Matata on the Celtics right now. I will say that, the way that they've been playing recently. Everything's honky-dory with the team after a couple. That's your cue, Sherrod.
So we've gone from Ubuntu to Hakuna Matata.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
We had to break it down.
I like that.
Had to go a little a little elementary.
That's right. He's a younger kid.
That's where we're at now. Damn.
Let's hear from Brian. Brian, what's up?
Yes,
man?
Brian, please.
Brian, can you guys hear me?
What up, right? Brian?
Yeah, he's worries. Sure,
what's good?
Not much, you, boys. Jimmy. Not much. I thought we played a great game tonight. I do want to say I think we shouldn't be too hyped on the win. At the same time that we did look good, Kemba finally is coming into his own. The Warriors still without Klay. I mean, they're not going to do anything this year, but next year, I mean, I see them being an easily top five in the West. And without Fournier, I guess we're not at our peak, but. I mean, and we didn't have Rob. I mean, those are both huge impact players for us. So, I mean, I don't really – I guess my question is, how do you guys, like, see us playing out this year? I mean, do you think we're going to make the Eastern Conference Finals, or do you think we're going to win the first round against the Charlotte Hornets or the Atlanta Hawks and then get bounced by a Bucks or Sixers? Yeah. Or what have you.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. It's all about health. Yeah, Brian, thank you. You know, I do want to say I don't want to downplay the quality of this win because, again, the Celtics were without three of their six best players. And, you know, sure, Golden State is playing as well as they've been playing. And Curry's been out of his mind. And Curry had one of his best – had another out-of-body experience tonight, and they were able to hold off. So I think this was a really high-quality win. But, guys, again, you know, has the conversation changed at all beyond the Celtics getting bounced in the second round? Because, again, it's just no matter what, you're running into a brick wall there in that second round. So you've got to be playing outstanding basketball to get to the conference finals.
Well, I think that there's a feeling now that they've got a puncher's shot if they get to the second round, whereas I think a month ago it was like, oh, I don't know. They might get swept in the second round if they get there at all. I don't think that's the case now.
Well, they should not be getting swept.
Well, the way they were playing about a month ago.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, they were getting swept material. Now, not so much because they look like a team that, regardless of who they play, they're going to compete, and they've got a team that can compete and give themselves a chance to win a game or two, and potentially if they get a certain number of breaks that go their way, could potentially get out of that. I don't think they will. I think that the second round will be kind of the end of the road for them this year. But I don't feel as strongly about that now as I did a month ago, because I do think that there are signs that they're more built to compete than we've seen all season long. And again, if you're a Celtics fan, that's encouraging.
I don't know whether it changes or not. I do think, again, it's matchup dependent. I think
we're learning a lot this week.
If you smack into Bobby, are you still on delay?
No, I'm just saying we'll learn a lot this okay. week for sure. There's a big I think week if
you run into Brooklyn and in the second round, and I think you're toast. I think that's the only team I don't think you have a puncher shot against them unless they have injuries. I do think you do against Milwaukee and to lesser there. But you're right, Bobby. You got to see them for longer. Bobby, before you jump in, I just want to tell everybody in the room, if you do request to speak, please be on mute when I put you up there, because it was somebody who wasn't on mute. It's not a big deal.
They weren't on mute. All right. They were on something. They were on something. It wasn't mute.
Yeah. So
I swear, you have to do is half a second. Half a second. So it's only one thing that sounds like that. Only one.
Yo, we know it's late, everybody. We get it. But yo, make sure you're on mute. Yo, by the way, I just want to say, if anyone had any interest in that Jake Paul fight, he knocked dude out in like 10 seconds.
Did he really? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I didn't even get a chance to illegally stream it. The fight was already over.
Wow.
Yeah, wow, the highlights are already up on YouTube.
I can't care any less about that guy.
Me neither, thanks, but it's Bob. It's still a spectacle. He doesn't
care about you either, Bobby.
Yeah freaking okay, like Boomer, that. Bobby. Jeez.
Yeah, Boomer. That guy, YouTube guy.
You guys call that a sport?
let's bring in
Soapy.
Hey, we know
hey, what up, Soapy.
Yo, what up, fellas? You guys can hear me all right?
Yeah.
We can hear you, man.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Got
so
the, you got the iPod mic on. I mean,
the loud and clear.
I got that snowball mic. No, but does Grant Williams know where the bodies are buried? Because like, how's that dude on the court long enough for Curry to hit a few threes on him? And then second of all, I want credit to be given where credit is due. The Celtics are 7-1 since a certain someone may have helped Paul Pierce get the axe from ESPN. I don't know if you guys want to comment on that.
Say it again, Sophie, so they can hear it in the back.
Yeah, yeah. Celtics are 7-1 since Where's Rachel Nichols At? From yours truly.
That's true. That is true. Shout out Sophie. He went like viral. Yeah, you call it viral with his Where's Rachel Nichols At on the Paul Pierce infamous stripper Instagram. Which we won't talk about because we
exotic
won't,
dancer Jimmy.
Sure, exotic dancer. Sure, yeah. We'll go with that. Whatever that last unmuted video guy was on here, we'll go with that. But anyways, Celtics have been streaking since that. You know, I got to give Sophie a shout out. And yeah, as far as the Grant Williams question, we've been asking that question all damn season. Like, why is he getting? All right,
come
on.
We're
going to
make it. I've seen a lot of this in the chat tonight, too.
We were asking this even like while Rob Williams was buried on the bottom of the bench. Grant Williams is getting 30 minutes a game. Like, that's how long it's been going on for.
So I think a lot of people tonight are thinking that Jabari's going to blow Grant out of the rotation. And again, Grant didn't have his best game tonight, but he's had a strong month. And all season he's been knocking down his threes when he's taken them. People are wondering, you know, why does he score 2 to 4 points a game? I don't think we want to see Grant taking a ton of shots. I mean, he's what, shooting 46% probably from three this year? I think he's had a strong defensive month or so. And, you know, when Rob got hurt, him and Tristan got broken up on that bench. That bench unit was allowing like 100 points per 100, which was phenomenal. So he had come a long way this month. I don't think he's going to be out of the rotation soon by any means. In fact, people are going crazy about Jabari tonight. There's going to be matchups where he looks great. There's going to be matchups where he doesn't play. He's just part of that group there with Romeo.
Bobby,
and
for
Grant,
real, though.
Some are going to be good, some aren't.
Bobby, a real question for you. Grant Williams plays well and contributes to the cause 1 out of blank games. Answer that question.
No, he's had a good month.
No,
I'm asking his first bad game.
Answer the question. 1 out of blank many games. Does Grant Williams is he a positive check mark in the
I mean, this
column?
Is the same issue we have with
answer
Thompson.
The question,
you guys
Bobby.
Are like,
no,
the
it's a simple question.
Answer the question,
Bobby. It's a simple question because it's a
your team. Honor.
This is a politician.
You're
right
looking.
Now.
He's an impactful player.
Okay, Grant Williams makes an impact 1 in blank many games that he plays. I think it's like 1 in 7 or 8. So again,
I was going to say like 4, but.
Okay, but that's the thing is, why are we talking about a person who is moderately effective one out of five nights?
And why are we talking about cutting him from the team when we're not, when they picked up a guy who could barely stay in the league?
Why defend someone who is a detriment four out of five nights that he plays and makes a small positive impact occasionally? Why even bother wasting time?
Because like, I think people are being way too hard on him. He's had some good games over the last couple of weeks very that have contributed few. To winning.
Let the commenters have at him. He doesn't deserve – he certainly deserves more criticism than he does to be defended.
Hey, I think also I look at 100 defensive rating, and I'm very impressed.
People aren't saying that context. Grant is destined to fall out of the rotation.
Yeah, the context is just him and Thompson off the bench. They've been phenomenal defensively. Again, yeah, looking at 4 points here, and everyone's freaking out because he's not a scorer. I'm sorry, but people who don't score can have impacts on games. You love Romeo.
Most nights that people are dogging him are the nights where he's exposed defensively. Not the zero.
Yeah, but that's
in the box
one
score.
Game out of this whole month where he's been sensational defensively.
The thing about Jabari is he's reminding people of like, man, if Grant could do a little bit of that, or at least on a consistent level. Like, I don't think it's a matter of Grant has to be out of this rotation, or that he's going to find himself, What do you call it? Waved or whatever. I don't think that's the case. I just think it's a reminder of, man, if, of course, this is a small sample size, but if this is what we're going to see, or at least if Greg, the Celtics team could season long, like we just wish we could see that from Grant every single night.
But see, here's the problem with that thinking, though. He ain't Jabari Parker, and Jabari Parker ain't Grant Williams. So we shouldn't expect either of them to be like the other. I think what we're going to see with Grant Williams, I think his minutes will be reduced, but he will still play because I think he does have value. I think the problem that a lot of people have is the amount of playing time he's getting, not so much the fact that he's playing. Because if you look at like the last like 5-6 games, Grant Williams' defensive rating has been like tops among guys who play 20-plus minutes a game for the Celtics. So it's not like he's out there from a defensive standpoint and doing absolutely nothing for you. But again,
him and Thompson were a physical duo. They were bothering teams.
Right. But again, I think when you add a guy like Jabari Parker to the roster, you have to get him on the floor. And I think what's going to wind up happening is that, you know, instead of playing like 20 minutes a game, Grant's probably going to play like something closer to 10 to 12. And that's okay. That's okay because, frankly, I think he can still be effective in a limited amount of time.
I think that's a good point because I do think what happens is it's 25 minutes of Grant means 10 to 12 or 15 minutes of Grant where you're like, please get this guy off the court. And then maybe 8 to 10 minutes where you're like, okay, he did some stuff there. So you're right. It has to be the right moment and the right amount of time. But when you're using him for 20 and 25 minutes, it just means he's on the floor a lot of times when he probably shouldn't be on the floor. And so it's not putting him in the best position to succeed. It's the same really with any player. If they're overused or misused or miscast, that's going to happen. So I think that's happening a bit with Grant this year. Just too many minutes. Again, up until 2 weeks ago, he was still averaging more minutes than Rob, which is
No, there are plenty of guys around the league you'd rather have in that position than him. But that's just not the situation on the roster. In fact, they've made the choice that they're going to go with cheaper, draft picks like him. So he's had to fill that position, be a big part of the rotation for 2 years. And honestly, this month, he's starting to look like what he did last year. And last year, I think we were all fairly happy with what he gave the team, even though he wasn't scoring big amounts or grabbing a ton of rebounds or doing all this stuff. Like, he's just one of those guys that has a more intangible impact on the game. And, you know, he's 9 games into a streak here where he's put up positive numbers. And I know context, but he's a bench guy. So he's been part of a effective bench unit, even though they haven't scored a ton here.
All right, please. I can't do Grant talk anymore. We deserve better than Grant talk after this game, please.
No, I mean, there's just these notions that get thrown around in the show, like Grant's off the team now. Like, that's
no more
ridiculous.
Grant. No more Grant talk.
If you say Grant, you get muted. John mutes from next. If you say the word Grant, you get muted from that rest of this night. All right, next question.
I wish we could make it into a drinking game.
What up, Franklin?
Frank Little, what's up?
All right, what's up, guys?
Don't say the word. Don't say the T word.
I'm not going to say the word, but that's not my main point.
I got my finger on the trigger, buddy, so right. Okay.
All right. About number 12?
Exactly, yeah.
I think his role, his expectation is too high, and his role is too big. But that's not my main point.
Okay.
You're walking a thin rope right now, bud.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Kemba.
Okay.
We'll allow it.
I want to tell y'all, do not fall in love with Kemba. Every good game, detach your love for Kemba. I just wanted to tell you, he is not the future. Until Celtics get rid of Kemba, they can't be taken seriously. Because wow. You're going to pay $34 million for a guy who most likely going to be bitching up because he get targeted too much. He's too streaky. You can't pay $34 million for streaky. He's like 5'10".
Franklin, quick question for you. Let's pretend he didn't make $34 million, and let's pretend he existed and he was the player who he currently is, and he made.
Let's pretend it's baseball.
And he made the veteran and he made the veteran minimum. How do you feel about him? Because right now at this point we have to remove salary from the Kemba Walker discussion because it doesn't affect what happens on the court.
Because it's hard to not look at it. If he made like $20 million a year, it wouldn't look that bad. But it's like he's your max guy.
But there's nothing we can do about that now. So you got to just deal with the basketball player that Kemba Walker currently is.
And the basketball part of it is like the worst part. Because the other day,
it gets worse.
The other day, it's like, you know, it's not even a playoff and the Timberwolves are targeting Kemba. D'Angelo Russell doesn't post up anybody. But he decides, I'm going to post up Kemba because he sucks so bad on defense. That's why I like. He can't be on a team.
Yeah, I mean, they could have Patrick Beverley. I mean, I don't think that would be better.
You're looking for like a defense or a pass first type guard. You don't want Kemba taking shots away from Jalen and Jason. Is that what you're saying, pretty much?
Yeah, like it'll be better if they had somebody like Malcolm Brogdon.
My God, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, but I mean, I keep seeing these ideas tossed.
Thank you, Franklin. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
I agree with you there.
We've had. Frankly,
but like, what kind of conversation is that? It's not either or. The Pacers would say no to that in 2 seconds.
It's not. We don't need to have that conversation.
We're not having the conversation. He's just saying that type of a guard is what would be the perfect fit.
We're not.
But it just does. That's not how you design. You don't start a team from zero and just build it in 1 year.
But it's irrelevant.
Throw pieces at it.
It's irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, well,
we know that
everything's irrelevant.
I see people saying Kemba for Lonzo too. That was never a possibility.
But that's not the point, Bobby. They're basically saying we'd be better with a guy like this. Okay, that's
and you
all
would
they're
be.
Saying. They're not.
Yeah, they'd be better with LeBron than Tatum.
I understand. That's the point. Is Kemba Walker's a guy you invested in, and people wish he was a different player. That's literally all they're saying. What I'm saying back to them is you can't wish away the contract. And you can't do anything about it. So at this point, you just got to live with what Kemba does do for you and figure out whether that's good enough. It's just the salary is an irrelevant part of this. I think right now people are not saying trade him for Lonzo. They're saying the Celtics would be better with a Lonzo Ball than Kemba Walker right now. And I don't disagree with that.
Sure. But you know what? Like, you know, it is what it is. Like, this is your team. So you better learn to like them because you're going to either win with them or lose with them. You're not getting rid of Kemba Walker. We talked about that at length on the Garden Report before this. And I understand he's not the perfect player, but he's a hell of a lot better than a lot of other options out there. And I think there's going to be games where he has saved the team because there are a lot of games this year where not both Jalen and Jason showed up and Kemba Walker had to be the guy. And I think that there's going to be a time, whether it's in the playoffs or not, but sometime soon where he's going to step into that role of the go-to guy down the stretch. And you're going to hear a lot less of the Kemba hate. He's making the money he's making. That's how it's going to be for the next 2 seasons after this. And like John said, people just have to get past that because that's not going to change. Who else we got?
You guys want more people or anyone else want to jump in on the Kemba train here?
Let's move on.
Let's move on. All right,
Joe Sway with us.
Let's bring in an us.
Joe who?
Yeah, he's up again. Oh, he is.
It's not 10 o'clock starting. Okay.
This is about, Jimmy, you can't this say is that. About you the were, people.
You were sleeping too.
This is about the people.
Oh, hell yeah.
Bring the people in here.
Anas, what's up, man?
What's up, guys?
Thank you. What's, up, man? What's going on? So, you gotta hear these clowns for hours, yeah, man. Okay. You got a new voice.
Wow.
I have a interesting Kemba Walker trade scenario.
We were trying.
Oh,
this is all Shiraz.
I will not say a thing. I'm just going to let Bobby rage against this, okay?
This is going to be a little controversial. A little. But let's just say you get bounced in the second round. And Danny Ainge is like, I need to change something up here. Would you entertain some version of Kemba out, Russell Westbrook in?
Ooh, that's juicy. That's juicy. I can tell you that John is...
I'm sorry, I said
Arthur,
I was...
That Arthur meme of clenching your fist was John right now, not being allowed to talk, and it lasted 1 second.
Yeah, I said I wasn't going to speak, but for the love of God, no. And okay,
besides James Harden, I think that's probably what, number two on your the players you can't stand the most?
Well, I can't watch Harden play because I hate the style, but I respect the game. Russell Westbrook, I can't even begin... Like, he has a triple-double, like, and it's a detriment to his team. Like, he's just...
He makes more money, too. Way more money.
I can't even do it, so you...
No, thanks. I'll pass.
Yeah, I mean, he can't shoot. He's basically playing center for that team. Huge contract. No more flexibility. Probably less flexibility. He can pass a little better. That's what you would get out of that, but I think the detriments are worse.
What about that attitude?
Well, I just don't think he makes teams better. I mean, I think he's a hell of a player, hell of a player. And if we're playing a game of pickup and he's like available, hell yeah, I'm going to pick him up. But this ain't pickup. This is like team basketball, and I just don't think he does enough to make his teammates better. I don't think he shoots the ball well enough to where he is a legit perimeter threat. He's a scorer, not a shooter. There is a clear distinction between the two. I would have a lot of problems with him. And the other thing too, how do you think he's going to mesh with Tatum and Brown if you went that route?
Yeah,
I mean,
ball in his hands all the time.
Exactly.
Class.
I just think there's two. If you were to bring him in, you're going to probably lose one or both of those guys sooner rather than later. They realize they can't play with him.
Jalen's checking out.
Yeah, that would be a tough locker room addition, I think. If you take out Kemba and you add Westbrook, man, that is like polar. It feels like polar opposite type of
thing. Jalen would be saying no comment for every single question after game.
Yeah, that's got.
Well, here's the thing about Westbrook. I mean, I don't think he's a bad dude. I mean, I think he has a lot of the same issues that I think Kyrie has as far as what he's trying to convey doesn't come out as clear as it can be because he's overthinking the process of getting his messages out. But to me, outside of that, I just don't think it's a good basketball decision. Because, again, I don't think he meshes with your current superstars on your team. And I don't think he's going to be willing to make the kind of changes to his game that you would have to make in his shoes if you're going to make this work. Like James Harden in Brooklyn, he has clearly tweaked his game so that he can play well with Kyrie, so that he can play well with Durant. Is Russell willing to make those same sacrifices to play with Tatum?
It's possible.
How about
who's a better defender? Who's a better defender, though?
So, Jimmy, I think there is a way you can look at this, too, where it does make sense. And just to play devil's advocate a little bit, like the passing would unlock quite a bit. The size is a significant upgrade, and then the defense for sure. Plus just that fiery intensity. I just think he takes it in that aspect so far, though, to where he's turning it over 8 times, taking crazy shots in the lane in crunch time, and dominating the ball like a maniac. Like there's positives to him for sure. I think he's actually probably become a little underrated. Due to his perception that's just taken a tank, but I don't know, though. There is a lot to hate there, too.
You know who's a big Westbrook fan?
He can't shoot, and the turnovers are terrible.
Yeah. Big Perk is a Westbrook fan, and you know, Perkins has a lot of say on this Celtics team. Joking, but...
Would the Wizards say yes?
It's a
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
What's his deal? So what's Westbrook's contract, Stitch?
They both have two more years.
What, Westbrook 42 and 44 million?
Yeah. So it's strictly a personnel type move then. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it would be like the Wall Westbrook trade.
Okay. Well,
guys, who's in the background there? Is that Nick Delivery?
It's not me.
Jesus. All right, let's bring in Griffin.
Hey guys, what's going on?
What's up? What up, Griffin?
Hey. So, I think with Spark the 6-game win streak, I think back when the media called out the players, I think it lit a fire under the guys. Honestly, especially who was the Jays.
Media, you
keep,
say?
You keep going.
I mean, yeah, for like Tatum, I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, there was a couple post games ago, and Brown said, "Bring out the best versions of ourselves." With him and Tatum, they just started playing better like that. Like Tatum going to the basket all the time now. That's when he's at his best, going downhill, I think.
Yeah.
And opens up the shooting game.
Hey, John, maybe they're quoting how much you make fun of.
So, Griffin, we said this on our YouTube show. What we pretty much said was, you know, there's a lot of people that were calling out these players. And I think that, you know, eventually you hear it from enough people. You have no choice but to look at yourself and figure out, you know, what's going on here? What can we do to turn this thing around? So I think they were forced to look at each other and say, you know, we have to turn this around now or we're going to be through.
Tonight's a great example of that, right? Because we've owed so much of this turnaround to Rob Williams starting, and rightfully so. But the last two nights, he hasn't been out there. Tristan's had to move up, and they've gotten a little bit thinner.
Here we
especially
go.
Tonight with Jalen out. No, I'm not doing the Tristan
thing.
Can we do
this agenda-free, please?
No, I'm not even doing that. I'm just saying he had to move up. They had a good bench unit going with him that got broken up. And, you know, Jalen tonight, especially going out, I thought there was no way they were going to win tonight without Jalen, Fournier, and Rob. But they're still adjusting, finding, you know, their roles and playing the right way. And I just think the offense in particular looks so smooth, is moving the ball so well, finding each other, making each other better. And so, like, we've talked about, like, adjustments in terms of lineups that have made a massive difference. But I think tonight, more than anything, showed, like, the individual adjustments.
But do
a
you
guy
think
like Tatum,
that,
a guy
do
like
you
Kemba.
Think response to criticism played a role?
100%.
Yes.
You just hear how they talked about it.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, this isn't in a credit-seeking sort of thing. It is interesting where, like, it's almost like you would never want to admit as a player – like, yeah, we heard it and we wanted to shut the critics up and therefore what they did was good for us, you know, because it's like most players are like these idiots don't know what they're talking about. So the criticism doesn't matter. And that's what Brad said the other day. He's like, there's no real reason to listen to it because most analysis, you know, talk shows and blah, 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 you know, they're not hitting on stuff deeply. If you're a basketball player, you know what's really happening. But in their case, the reason I think it did hit a nerve is because it wasn't about X and O basketball and it wasn't what they were doing. It was all of the stuff like, you know,
Tristan, you're off the court screwing around. You're not liked in the room.
Or
it
Tatum,
wasn't anything to do.
Tatum, you're sulking and pouting and we see it and it's having a negative effect. You guys aren't looking for your teammates. You're playing hero ball. All of that stuff does not require you to have a PhD in basketball to understand that. And I actually think that's why it hit them hard, because they're like, oh yeah, I probably shouldn't sulk like that. It's not like, you know, you try to criticize something that Bill Belichick did and like nobody frigging understands football well enough to be able to make those determinations. So it's almost laughable when people in the media talk about that. With this stuff, it was really stuff that almost everybody could plainly see. And it, you know, kind of resulted in this little attitude adjustment.
Right, but I don't think it's like a bad thing, though. It's like, oh, well, why are they even talking about this? Like, you shouldn't need someone to get you all fired up. Well, if that's what it takes, and if they want to be, you know, in front of cameras talking about it, then so be it. Just make sure you back it up, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Uncomfortable conversations, Josue.
That's right. That's right. Those are the ones that stuff gets done after that, and you see progress after that. And people, maybe one of them said something that they've been dying to say for weeks. They finally got it off their chest, and all of a sudden they're scoring 53 points. I don't know. Not to say it was Tatum, but this, whoever it was.
I think this year is different, too, in the sense that you're not going out after games and you're not doing all the stuff in your life that you normally would be, where you'd be able to tune out most of this after games and the next day and that kind of stuff. I mean, guys just have their heads buried in their phone at home. So it reaches in a different kind of way than it does in different years, I think. So in some way, that probably was a benefit for this team. And we know they've heard it throughout the year. Like, when Brad was under fire the way he was, we knew it was getting to him.
Well, I mean, Danny came out. Danny had to come out and, like, do a, you know, Brad's not getting fired. Danny had to throw himself on that grenade. He came out. Yeah. He did two interviews with the Globe and the Herald and a radio tour just to back up Brad when the heat started getting when it really started getting hot there.
Hey, that was wild.
Shit, he did one with Sherrod too for BSJ. He basically offered himself up, like, I gotta set the record straight on some stuff, and he said it's not Brad's fault, right, Sherrod?
Yeah, and I, you know, he's kind of right though, because I mean the issues that this team had were with the roster. And guys weren't healthy, and they weren't deep as they needed to be at some critical positions. And I don't think it's a coincidence that guys have gotten healthy and they've tweaked the roster a little bit, and now, lo and behold, they're actually a pretty good team. I think Danny was the first one in that whole orbit of the Celtics to acknowledge that he had to be better at his job. And I think it took the players a little while to kind of catch on that, you know, we got to be better too. And so that's part of being a leader. That's a great point.
And he was hearing the noise too.
Yeah. And so I give Danny credit for hearing the sounds of just frankly flatline play and roster and making some changes. And he realized that he didn't have to make this huge dramatic blow this thing up and start from scratch type changes, but he needed to change the DNA of this team. He needed to get guys in here who brought something to the table that they did not have. And when you look at this roster, clearly they needed guys who could score coming off the bench. So what did he do? He got a guy like Fournier for 2 second-round picks, which is nothing, who is a big time playmaker who is a high teens, low 20 point per game scorer. When he's in a starting role. Then you add a guy like Jabari Parker, who the only thing that you can count on him like clockwork is he's going to get buckets. Don't talk to me about defense. Don't talk to me about anything. He's going to get buckets. Anything else he gets beyond scoring is gravy. So he's made those two moves, and you add a guy like, you know, Bobby's boy, Cornette, who...
Nice piece.
He is who he is. But what the thing that I look at when you're talking about adding guys,
he's integral.
Oh, enter who? What? Anyway, when you add guys who you know are going to be coming off your bench who are not part of your core, there has to be something special and unique that they bring to the table. Fournier, it's his ability to score and make plays. With Parker, it's the ability to score. With Cornette, it's the ability to knock down three ball as a 7'2" center. That's how you build a team that can give you some
and to block shots standing up, which he did 4 times the other night, which was pretty good too.
I'm so happy they bought into this team, because there was a sense around it midway through the year, should you even upgrade this group? Are they just kind of worthless? But you saw they were going through some stuff. They had some pieces missing. They had some level of internal turbulence that they ended up getting through, and it was worthwhile to buy into this team.
Yeah, I mean, let it be known that this season turned around when the
Celtics... That's kind of BS, Bob.
When the Celtics acquired Luke Cornette.
Bobby, you kind of look like Luke Cornette a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's complete, total BS that Bobby just spewed there. I mean, nothing they did at the deadline has contributed to what's gone on here. I mean, it's all internal, Bobby. It's all... The main players on this team have finally pulled their heads out of their collective asses and decided to play team basketball together and stop playing me first, stop playing one player mode, stop, you know, pointing the finger saying we got to do this, we got to do that. And they all had Joe Sway's uncomfortable conversation like we've talked about today.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And now they're playing like the team that everyone thought that they should have been playing.
But like, Jimmy, to be fair, Jimmy, what he's saying is, this is what we talked about earlier, the buy-in.
They changed the complexion of the roster and
But they've made nominal contributions to this point. Yeah, My point is,
Fournier hasn't even played yet.
Right,
But they moved Robin to the starting lineup with it. That was another adjustment that was
made. They needed to do that.
They could have done that separate from
but
this.
But they weren't.
But what Bobby was saying, I think, is that...
Yeah, they didn't blow it up.
There was buy-in from ownership that this team can still compete, so we're going to get you help. When you don't get help, when you don't give a team help...
That's exactly what Ainge said. He said, yeah, I felt like I had to make a move. I owed it to the coach. I owed it to the team.
And in that case, I believe it. Before you guys jumped on, someone asked that, and I do believe that... I didn't at the time, and I do believe it now, that Ainge, when he said it, I was like,
He brought them into the year with an incomplete team. Yeah, it was inexcusable. It would have been inexcusable to do nothing.
But also said he's looking around the room and he's looking at people and they're down and dejected. And he's like, I was afraid to lose these guys forever if we didn't do something. And so, I mean, for him to say that and for him to do it has to mean he thought it was getting pretty bad. So he felt – so I do think in that regard it helped. But you're right, Jimmy. Right now they've each – the big shift is – Tatum being the best I don't want to use it again, but Tatum being friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
Kemba
he's
playing better.
Changed the way he plays. I mean, we've talked about how he's attacking the rim. He's being aggressive and all this stuff. I mean, I don't know. By Danny Ainge not trading Marcus Smart or not taking a step back at the deadline, did that signal to the guys that he believed in them? I don't know. I mean,
no, but standing pat would have too.
I don't know. Again, I mean, nothing's – again, like, he made the move for Fournier. Fournier's played, like, three games. A lot of this stuff
– And they were blowout wins. That started this whole streak.
Okay. Very quickly, just want to let everybody know in the chat, I've had a couple people come up or join us recently. Please, when we put you up to speak, mute, and then we will get to you as soon as we can, I promise. So when I put you up there, just mute your mic and then I'll call on you, and you can join in. I think, Isaiah, are you there? We don't have Isaiah. I'm going to put somebody else over there.
He's always a good one.
We'll get him back. We'll get him back. All things Celtics.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's happening?
Hey, it's Fournier.
Yep. So first thing. Jose, come on, fix your Wi-Fi. Second thing.
First off, it's Josue. Okay.
You can't clown him and get his name wrong.
Right, you can't clown him and get his name wrong. So that one's off the board.
We'll give you a redo on that.
We'll give you a redo.
Jose.
There you go. Good job. Right. You're up. What do you got?
I don't know if you guys heard, Danny's going to be commentating on the Bulls game on Monday.
Really?
I didn't hear that.
Oh, he's going to be on the broadcast? Yeah. They do that like once a year.
That'll be fun.
That's great. I like when Smart goes on, too. Those are always good times.
Yeah.
I hope Scal doesn't bury him.
all things Celts. You have any comments or comments on tonight's game or anything Celtics related or any questions?
The Brad team's disrespect has to stop.
Oh. Ooh. Why?
Okay.
All right, first off, everyone says, like, he's one of the worst coaches. Like, he brought
Nobody says that.
All right, like, the fake fans, though.
That's true.
Okay.
He brought us to the Eastern Conference so many times, it's honestly just annoying. And that Gary Media guy, he's one of the worst people ever.
Tanger?
Gary Media guy.
Like, how did Gary
Tanger? I love it. That's his new name, Gary Media Guy.
Perfect.
I bet he would love that. Name. Celtics fans could take his job. Like, this guy just says every negative comment you can think of, bro.
Yeah, a lot of people look at this team in this city from a distance, a deep distance, and just can't.
Thank you all. Things.
A lot of the stuff that comes when it comes to Brad is like very minimal things, like bench changes and starting lineups and late game, ATO calls. Like, it's hard to grasp those things from a distance, like I think a lot of people do with this team. And the nice guy, we've talked about this a lot this year, the nice guy persona with him, I think hurts a lot of people who come in and look at the, you know, they want to see a more intense guy smashing clipboards and stuff like that. But we said it all year. That wasn't him. I mean, him changing that was not going to be what was going to get this team to respond.
You're right. It was trading for Luke Kornet.
It was Brad trading Tice away. So I mean, Danny.
Fournier came in and had four good games.
So Brad could finally start Rob. That's what it was.
Kornet walked in. You know what happened? Kornet walked in the locker room, and the guys around said, "You know what? We got a chance. We believe now."
Yeah. And as soon as he walked in, they all just looked at each other and nodded. You know,
they got on his back.
They were like, "Yes.
This is the missing piece.
We did it." Let's bring in
Kornet,
Jesse.
Not Fournier. I combined Fournier and Kornet, which would be a pretty good player. But I'll take one right now.
Jesse, what's up?
What's up, y'all? Appreciate y'all letting me in, chopping it up with us. I enjoy it. Big fan.
We love it.
Like listening to y'all a lot. Been harassing Bobby on his Twitter lives. It's cool how y'all let us talk and become part of the conversation. Yeah. But okay, so my question's about, I'm the biggest green teamer there is, but obviously you don't feel good about this team like being a real contender. And I think the way we can become a contender is either if Jalen and Jason just go to a different stratosphere, if we pull a trade for a big-time guy like Kat or Beal, or if we add two to three legit 3 and D guys that can really produce points and defensive stops. And my question about that is involving our draft picks for the future. Y'all were clowning my guy Bobby around the trade deadline about how many first-round picks he was willing to offer up. So my question is, outside of trade value, what do the picks even have value to you guys at this point? Because we have our young guys locked in. Do we really need to draft players at this point for the next few years?
Well, yeah, I hope they don't pick a player this year.
It's less about that. The issue is, first off, you're never trading 7 first round picks because that's gonna affect you. That's gonna affect you 14 years into the future because you're gonna trade them for every
not
other
never.
Year.
Never. There's situations where you do.
Okay, never. Never. I'm never having this conversation again. You're never trading 7 first round picks. It's never happened.
So this cat and Beal stuff that Sherrod's talking about is not going to happen because that's what it costs now.
Number two, okay,
would not cost
the
that.
The reason they have value to you is because they have no value to anyone else because they're lower picks.
That is not true.
Oh my God, Bobby, do you like the picks or not like the picks, man?
Some teams see them. This is the Clippers thing. The Clippers don't have any picks for years. The Rockets love picks right now. The Thunder are dying to get picks. There's a lot of teams out here that are packing picks up, and you can get good stuff for them. Look at the two moves that define the offseason.
So other teams can get good
stuff.
Celtics picks, but the Celtics can't get good stuff for their picks is what you're saying.
Well, look at what Philly did. Philly transformed its depth off a first-round pick to the Thunder. The Clippers transformed their roster off sending picks to the Clippers. And then you look at the Warriors got a rotation piece from Oklahoma City in that sense. Like, a lot of teams make great moves in the offseason and at the deadline just by flipping a first-round pick or two. And the fact that the Celtics still have 7, I mean, you seriously want to add another Aaron Nesmith to this group for next year. It'll be inexcusable if that's what
they
do.
So, again, another team wants to add Aaron Nesmith, but the Celtics don't.
No, some teams do. That's where they're at.
How is this logical? If the picks have value to another team, then they have value to you.
Teams are in different places in terms of their progression. The Celtics have absolutely no need for any more young talent.
Here's why you're wrong. Here's why you're wrong. Is because look at this current roster. The young guys on this team might not be on this team
right.
in a year or two. So you do have a reason to take another draft pick because you might actually pick somebody worth the roster
you
spot,
have no
which is
money.
Unlike
or you can go get a veteran who can contribute.
You don't
like
have
Fournier.
Money. You don't have money.
Right, that's the other thing. Money. You get a guy on a rookie deal and you keep him under control for 4 years at a low price. That's how you go from a great team to a championship team or a good team to a great team.
I got one more quick question if I can butt in here.
Go for it.
First of all, I agree with Bobby. I think that's been a huge pitfall of the Celtics, and that's why our season's been so underwhelming because our picks turned into main players. But also, why not go off after Austin Rivers?
Is he still out there?
Austin Rivers.
I feel like he might have got picked up. I'm not sure, though. I don't know. Either way, I don't think it'd be a huge difference.
Austin Rivers had a cup of – didn't he have, like, a day in the Celtics uniform and they
– Oh, that's right. Put,
yeah, I just don't think there's that interest is there. I just don't. I mean, who would know Austin Rivers more than Danny Ainge? I mean, obviously, Doc Rivers was coaching this team as Austin Rivers was, you know, coming up as a kid, and then he went to college, did a year in Duke, should have done more years at Duke, and he's had an up-and-down career.
I mean, remember
that Austin pressure. Rivers is on the Nuggets, I think.
Yeah, he traded for him. Did he even play, though?
The Nugget, which makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah. With Jamal's injury, if I'm Austin, I'm definitely – that's where I want to go. Austin's a hard one for me to kind of get down with because I think he's a decent player, but he's not – I've never felt he was like a needle mover, like someone that – if I add him to the mix, all of a sudden my team is complete now. I never felt that about him. He's not a bad player.
But he was a good fit in Houston where they just stack shooters on the floor and that's all they care about.
He hit corner threes and all that stuff. I don't know. But, I don't know if
the Celtics are kind of the opposite. They kind of like wing defenders and stuff, which is actually why I was really blown away when they signed Parker. But it got off to a good start tonight, and that's probably the last move this year. I don't think there's too much flexibility beyond
well,
that.
Well, look, where he began his comment was this. It was, just to go back to what Jesse said, in order for them to get to where they need to go, either Tatum and Brown make a leap, you trade for Beal or Cat, or you get three 3-and-D guys, okay? The second two are very hard to do or unlikely, so really your only path to contention is the ascension of Tatum and Brown into – that next stratosphere. That's when we devolved into the 7 picks thing. I don't think 7 picks alone gets you friggin' Cat. I don't know whether it does or doesn't, but regardless, you know, you need some salary to match there too. So you've got to move something around. But the path to success for this team is the guys that they currently have most likely becoming better players.
Why would you keep your picks when you can get better by moving them?
I don't believe 7 picks alone. First of all, again,
you could trade 1 pick for a good guy.
You're not trading 7, but even if you trade 3, you need to trade 3 and something. Like every team out there doesn't just want picks in the low 20s. They want picks and young players. The reason the Celtics can't swing deals is because they don't have young, attractive players. That's why they failed on Vucevic. That's why they'll fail on anything in the offseason.
Then you got to give up more picks. That was my point.
But that's the point is you're not going to trade that far into the future with your picks because that's scary as hell because those picks could potentially be 5 years from now, 8 years from now, 10 years. You can't see into your crystal ball 14 years into the future to trade 7 picks away. It's insane. It's never been done. It's unlikely to get done unless you were doing it for such a mega deal that you're getting a LeBron level star. You're not doing it for a Vucevic, you know? It's a very unlikely scenario. But sure, would they trade 3 first round picks for a superstar? Of course they would. 4? 3 with pick swaps, of course they would do that. You know, that's no question about it. That alone isn't getting it done because I think they tried. I mean, they couldn't get a whiff of the top tier players here in the trade market because they don't have anything behind those picks to give up and the picks alone aren't good enough.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about Rob's value, but it's just not there yet around the league, it seems like. So as far as player assets go, like you're saying, you're 100% right.
And that's a problem. I think Rob's looked at as a role player at this point, and he doesn't have enough value. Neesmith doesn't have it. Romeo doesn't have it. So, to me, the picks are lottery tickets. I mean, how many times are you going to whiff on a 14 or a 15 before you hit one of them? You're hoping one of 3. You know,
yeah. They might have already used it on Rozier. All their luck there.
Yeah, we need to check in. This is the portion of the night we check in to see how long ago Joe Sway went to sleep. Josue, are you there?
It's incredible. This was an 8:30 start.
He's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone. I'll be honest. I'm going to be gone soon, too.
I believe Sherrod's still here.
Sherrod is still here.
We're going to wrap it up with a couple more people. We still have a full room and people were arriving.
We're still over 100 right now. We're going strong.
We bought in Jort.
Is there still a line outside, Jimmy?
Yeah, I had to turn a couple dorks away. Other than that, we're letting most people in.
George, what's up?
What's up, boys? Great win tonight.
What's up, George?
Six in a row.
What's up, George?
Welcome back, Jimmy, by the way.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's a little different time over here.
Yeah. You guys were talking about, I know you've kind of like, you're going to boot anyone who mentions his name, but you were mentioning this guy, Grant Williams. I checked out, I did my best Jimmy Toscano impression and watched some YouTube highlights. That guy looks good. Oh, my God. So play him 35 minutes. Play him 35 minutes. Why not? Nah. Yeah, great win tonight, six in a row. I think it's important to, you know, just, I think like some people obviously, you know, get excited. You know, playoffs coming up. I think it's important to just stay a bit grounded, one game at a time. But I think I missed the first half. I actually slept in today. But anyway, I think it was. I mean, Tatum was obviously brilliant tonight. But there was one. There was a couple of plays there in at the end of the third, I believe, where Tatum hit a great, like a really tough three, and then Curry came the other end, like 5 seconds later, and just. You know, did his thing. Another, he hit a three, and Tatum was coming up the floor, and you're thinking, geez, is he just gonna chuck one as well? And then he went to the rim, and then the defense collapsed, and then he just dropped it off to another player and laid it in. And I thought, geez, that was such a good play, and it really speaks volumes of how he's improving. I feel like at this stage, we see him improve like almost every game. Obviously, he had to take a lot more responsibility tonight. But, I mean, you know, like, do you guys obviously see there's still so much room for improvement for him. Like, he only got to the line, like, very late tonight. I thought he could have been a bit more aggressive earlier on when I was watching. But, I mean, you know, how much room for improvement does he honestly have? Like, what do you guys think?
Guys?
You know, like, anyone, like, it's fine.
I'll let anyone go.
Who wants George? George, repeat that one more time. Not the whole thing, just that last part.
No, he just said, does Tatum have another level?
So we all think that Tatum came into the year as, like, fringe top 10 guy, and I think we all think that he has the capability of being a top 3 to 5 guy. I mean, he's only, what, 22? And typically guys don't really hit their peak until, you know, 26, 27. So I totally think that he has another level. And I think we've seen it in spurts now. He won't ever hit that level until he consistently attacks the basket like he's starting to do. We know he's got that wet outside shot. We know that he can, you know, we know he can get to the line too. He just chooses not to do it a lot. Sometimes he falls too much onto that fadeaway. He gets into that like Paul Pierce zone. Where he just wants to take that, you know, step back fadeaway, use his height over defenders, which is great. But I think if he really starts to attack the basket, then he will find himself in that top echelon of players. I really do think he can.
It's all about the passing, the ball control. There's never going to be a time, and I know people want to allow him to focus on his scoring and what he's best at and this and that, but for him to reach the top of the game, he's got to run the offense. He's got to do everything with the ball in his hand. So he's got to cut down the turnovers, and he's got to raise his level of, you know, quality passing, setting other guys up with great looks, all that kind of stuff. He's just scratching the surface with that. In fact, I never even thought we'd see him do that in his career. Looking back on his college days and stuff like that, I saw like short roll passing ability with him and secondary playmaking, but primary playmaking, he's flashed a great deal with it, and he still has a long way to go with it.
I don't know how far he gets with it, but having a more well-rounded game than just a score is essential.
Think of the pressure. Think of the pressure he draws, John. Someday he's going to be able to get like 7-8 assists every night.
He should, because he's. I mean, look at what LeBron does. You know, I mean, he's a ridiculous comp because he's one of the best passing, forwards, ever. But you have to you got to recognize that double and that trap coming quick and swing it, even if you're ending up with the hockey assist there. Tatum does get himself caught too often right now. So, right, passing out of those situations more quickly definitely helps. But look, it's an added plus to his game. I think it's the score. I think it's the way he gets his points. That's the most important thing because just not settling for the tough shot. I think it's all of this run has coincided with him getting downhill more. And I think that that's the most important thing that we've seen with him. Let's get Theo in here. And then we'll probably take one more and we're going to wrap it here. What's up, Theo?
What's going on? I was looking at the possible trade offers of the Celtics in the future. I was looking at, what's his name? Chris Paul, who crumbled today against the Spurs. And like, he has a similar contract. Not crumble, like the team crumbled. Like, they got blown out like 30 points against the Spurs.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I was wondering, like, he and Kemba have like a similar play style and a similar contract right now. What do you think of like a possible trade where he is a free agent next year?
I think Chris Paul has been. You don't like Chris Paul, Josue?
No, that's not. That's
that was Sharad. Right.
Josue.
I mean, Sharad.
Josue's dreaming of Chris Paul right now. Literally.
Yeah. No, I like Chris Paul. He's good. I love the fact that every team that Chris Paul goes to, become appreciably better like that first year. But I also know that every team that Chris Paul goes to tends to, how can I put this?
Hate Chris Paul.
They don't show up. There's some talk of that. I was going to say that they just don't show up in the
talk
playoffs.
Talk about Cliff Paul? And
bottom line is this. Chris Paul is a very good regular season player and can help you do some amazing things. Playoffs, different story. I'm not feeling that. And frankly, for Chris Paul, you know, he's going to have his pick of the litter. And I just don't see him ever wanting to be a Boston Celtic.
He has a 44 million option, though.
I'm surprised that Sharad, that's your take. I would think that you would think that Chris Paul could come in here and be like that veteran, pass first, playmaking guard that can kind of open things up for.
Let me ask you a
Jays.
Question: If you swapped him and Kimba out, does that make the Celtics a championship contender?
I think it gets him a lot closer.
I mean, look what he's doing for Devin Booker right now.
I just don't think you'd never swap him out because what the hell is friggin' Phoenix gonna do with Booker and Kemba?
Well, if you offered 5 first round picks,
okay,
that might start the conversation a little bit.
Click.
There's something to be said for a guy who's as good as Chris Paul is, who's on his fourth team in 5 years.
I love Chris Paul.
I don't love Chris Paul, but I think he's awesome.
I mean, do you see? Look at the Thunder now and what they were with him last year on the verge of making the second round. That's a significant difference there. And he has raised the ceiling of the teams he's been on. I think the money is what's gotten people. That's the big reason the Rockets moved him, because they thought the contract was a massive issue. And he had some issues with Harden that you can discuss there as well. But the people were scared of the contract for so long. And again, next year it's going to be $44 million, which is intimidating even for what he's done.
Give it up, Wick. Give it up. Pay the tax.
Yeah, I mean, if it's Kemba for Paul, then, you know, it's a $10 million difference, ultimately, more or less. But you're right. There's got to be something else that entices Phoenix there. And let's be real. Phoenix feels like an NBA Finals contender right now, even in the West. I mean, they're about to be the one seed if they can knock off a few more games here. I'm looking at their remaining schedules. They have a tougher one than Utah, but, you know, they're right there.
10 first-rounders. Real quick, I want to let everybody know who's in here. If we don't get to you, we'll try to get to you next time, I promise. Also, if you can, give everyone a follow here on of the panel here, even Snacks Toscano, who's still making noise. give everybody a follow here when we go live, and it won't just always be after this game. We're going to start doing more live stuff during the week as well. And it won't always be this group. It'll be members of this group with other people. So please make sure you follow all of us here, and you'll be notified when we do go live. Also, you can follow all of us on Twitter if you want to track down that information, but also subscribe to our Garden Report. A lot of you have come over from the post-game show, so you already do subscribe to our YouTube channels with the Garden Report. But if you don't, subscribe now, and if you do, tell a friend. We had a massive numbers tonight. I expect it's just going to keep growing and growing as we get deeper into the season and into the playoffs. So this was a super fun post-game show we did after one of the best games of the year.
And yeah, that was a good one.
We're going to do locker room every single day. So again, tell more people. We want this group to grow. We really enjoy the interaction, both on the chats on YouTube and in our live stream, and then coming here and talking with you guys afterwards. One or two more people here. I've tried you a couple of times. Yo, one, no two. Are you with us?
What's going on? What's going on, man? My dudes, I've been struggling with this microphone. It's like every time I try to get on here, I say something and I get cut real quick.
So. No, it's all good. I didn't have you muted one time, and I just didn't want you to, you know, be caught off guard. So
John's way too aggressive.
Glad we have you here. Fire away.
Yeah, bless. Quick question, man. Why is Tremont Waters and Carson Edwards still on the squad?
Bobby will tell you.
Yeah.
So Waters is because there aren't – whoever's out there at this point is either in Europe, did their G League bubble. So I guess they could replace him with one of the G League guys who was in the bubble. In fact, they still might. Like, I wouldn't count that out with how bad he looked the other night. Mo went right out the door, so Tremont couldn't be too far behind. Carson's actually owed a lot of money because they gave him a hefty multi-year deal. I think it was the biggest for a second rounder ever at the time, and he's still under contract for, I want to say, two more years after this one. So that wasn't a great signing by Boston because he's not that easy to let go. Again, it's not a ton of dead money on the books, but they're only – you know, 500K behind the tax right now, so they can't cut him. But Tremont could be gone any day. I wouldn't be surprised.
Here's a question. I'm sure you guys talked about this in the last show or something, but the Isaiah Thomas rumors, I mean, if there was any truth to that, don't you think it'd already be on the team?
Yeah, because there wasn't a rumor. It was a crap report.
I know. It was.
Another crap report.
Why not use him over a Tremont Waters? Why not sign him over a Tremont Waters? Can't tell me that he can't.
What are you going to do defensively?
You can't do that. You can't sign a veteran or a two-way.
Gotcha.
What are you going to do defensively with Kemba Pritchard and Isaiah in your backcourt? Like, you're just always going to have. You're just always going to have someone the other team is going to
right.
Attack.
They're redundant, but maybe you want to. Maybe take some minutes away from Kemba going into the final stretch of games, or you want to save him a little bit.
That's what you got Fournier for, hopefully, when he's clears protocol. Someone who can give you that playmaking and give you some size. Because
again, I get it. The Isaiah thing ended so bad here. People want to have a happy ending, but it's just was 4 years ago.
Forget about it.
I mean, we're pushing five.
Yeah, that guy's gone, guys. Come on. Like, you'll never recapture that magic. In fact, it's probably going to make you sad, and it's going to sully your memory. It's going to sully the memory of one of the most entertaining Celtics teams we've ever had here. You know, so
I mean, he didn't look good in New Orleans, did he?
I mean, he had that one little spurt, first game, but
first game was pretty good.
He didn't do well enough to get a second contract.
Just remember the good times and keep it moving. You don't want to go back to your exes, you know. You want to keep it moving.
We don't need Zoolander too. We don't need
him. They really don't. They don't need him. They don't.
No, it's not going to solve any of your issues. It's really not.
And like I said, it'll actually hurt to see it because you're going to remember it. I think it would be a painful experience. I think Celtics fans who want to see it for sentimental reasons would actually be the most disappointed. Not just for the on-court product, it would just be sad because it's better to remember him for what he was than what you're going to get if you sign him to a 10-day contract here. And it doesn't make sense, but. We've gone on a bit, guys, so I think we were going to wrap it. It's been 90 minutes. Great game. We're back on Monday. Guys, anything you want to say to again, thanks everybody for joining. Guys, anything you want to say before we close it?
Yeah, I want to say thank you to Steph Curry for reminding me how freaking good you are, because we've had some tough couple of last seasons with Curry missing time due to injuries and all that, but when this guy's on his game, I said it on the show earlier tonight, he's easily the most fun player to watch in the NBA, and he makes the game just so much more enjoyable. You know, one of those players that you'll just text a friend and be like, how good is Curry?
I was thinking this tonight. How close were the Celtics to trading for Curry? Because that was a big thing back in the day that, you know, could they flip Rondo for Curry very early in his career? That could have really set up something special here if it ended up going the same way. But I don't know, Sherrod, John, do you remember like how close it always, that ultimately well, was?
It always comes back to the same question. What's in it for the other team? There was never any serious traction with that. Because there just wasn't enough sizzle. You know, you'd have to put, in other words, Bobby, you'd have to give up 7 picks and Rondo to get that
became popular.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So, no. And it's the same way with Chris Paul. I mean, remember, Danny was open about wanting to trade Rondo for Chris Paul when he was in New Orleans. So it's not like Danny is adverse to trading really good players if he thinks he can get a great one in return. And I just think right now, just the way the landscape looks in the NBA, the great players aren't being moved. They're being bought out, and then they sign with whoever the hell they want to. Which is not good for teams like the Celtics. So, no. Would love if Steph was here, though. My gosh, could you? Ooh.
Well, that back, would be un- back. Back then, it was the issue with Steph was you had at the time Golden State had Ellis, right? Right. And so, and Curry wasn't Curry for the first couple of years
because he
so
had the ankle issues,
and he had multiple ankle issues. He kept getting hurt. And so you had Curry and Monta Ellis, and a lot of people at the time thought Ellis was the horse to bet on. So, yeah, theoretically, you could have possibly bought low on Curry back then before he became Steph. But then after he did, you know, there was that was it. But, yeah, for a couple of years there, he looked like kind of trending towards bust territory because he was hurt. Not quite bust, but, again, he had issues. That would have been – yeah, I mean, the fortunes of every franchise. I mean, basketball would have been totally different, obviously, if that had happened.
Right.
I just can't imagine that Golden State team not existing the way it did.
I mean, we talked about it briefly. Curry changed the game. I mean, he created an entire pretty much new style of play at that position.
Well, the other one is they almost signed – they almost signed Dwight Howard over Iguodala, which would have shifted things some type of way as well. That was like another bullet they dodged. So yep. There's always those points along the way, what ifs and all that.
It's those deals you don't make, like the Red Sox trading for A-Rod, you know, that sometimes are the best ones. Thankfully, that didn't go through either. But all right, guys, thank you again for everybody who joined us again. Give us a follow here on Locker Room and on Twitter, and obviously join our post game shows where we do it, you know, live after every game. We're back on Monday, I believe, the Bulls, correct?
Yeah. And if you
Tice,
click our
green
Tice return,
Tice return,
the Tice Cornette battle is going to be freaking intense.
It's only right that Tice gets hit with a foul. Right, just to commemorate his time with this, you just got to hit with a foul immediately.
I can't wait! Oh my god! All we need is a questionable call that doesn't get called on Tice, and everyone go, "Where's the call?" Like the inverse of how it happened here.
Exactly. Yeah.
In this room, if you click our profiles, you get our Twitter handles, and at least on mine, I have linked to our CLNS Media YouTube page where you can subscribe. So it makes it very easy to do those things. And if you subscribe, you'll be able to watch our YouTube shows, which are right before we come on to here. So it's kind of like it's a package deal. You kind of get an idea of what's going on.
Yeah, as do I, both Twitter and YouTube. So hit us up there. Give us a follow. Subscribe. Good night. We will see you guys on Monday. Thanks, all.
See ya.
See you guys. 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 See you guys.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.